From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, from the New Revised Standard Version. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated. We are continuing on with this vision, this mission that we are about, to be a community of love where everyone is welcome to belong and to believe and to be useful as disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of El Paso and of the world. And so we talked a couple of Sundays ago about what it is to belong, and we came to understand that in God's family, everyone has a place. Everyone is welcome to belong, and we all belong together. And then last Sunday, we talked about what it is to believe, and I used this little acolyte box to make myself taller, and we came to understand that we can't just look at our beliefs, but we must live our beliefs. And as we live our beliefs lead to life. So believing in Jesus gives us life in Jesus' name. And so we are learning to believe together, and so we are learning to live together. And that's why we come to the Lord. We must watch the Lord and learn from Jesus and experience his belief, and we are given the power to live, and we are taught how to live by watching Jesus. And so that's especially appropriate for today's word about being useful. When Jesus talks about being useful, one of the ways he says this is with these words about the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, the fields are ready, but there aren't enough harvesters. And so he says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers out into the field. A lot of times we take this in a very simple way, and Jesus means us to take his words in a very simple way. That's why he uses these parables and these images like a harvest field. But then, of course, that's not it. We need to understand the depth of Jesus' teaching, and that's also what he intends us to do. He gives it to us simple so we can take it in, and then we're supposed to chew on it and really digest it and let it nourish us and for life. And so this idea of the harvest field, I want to come at with what comes before by first watching Jesus. When we watch Jesus, we see his ministry taking place in, according to these verses that were just read, three primary ways. Go, tell, heal. Can we say that together? Go, tell, heal. One more time. Go, tell, heal. Not eat, pray, love, but that's another thing. But go, tell, heal. And so what we see Jesus doing is going to the towns and cities, going to all the people, telling them about the good news of God's kingdom and healing every disease, and our NRSV says every disease and sickness. Other translations that I prefer say every disease and affliction. So if we can just kind of take that in. So healing every disease and affliction, including sickness. So first there's go. Jesus goes, Matthew tells us, to the villages, the small towns, any small town people like me in here. Then Jesus also goes to the cities, any city folk in here. I guess we're all kind of city folk at this point if you live in El Paso. But Jesus doesn't discriminate between the small towns and the big cities. Where there are people, there's Jesus. Okay? Where there are people, there's Jesus. Jesus was big on the ministry of availability, to interact with people. So he goes. He goes to the people. And he tells. Jesus tells all these people, again, no discrimination. He tells everybody that God is here and God loves them. That's the message of the kingdom, that God is present in power. God's not far away or something, or non-existent, or some old man in some distant part of the universe. God is present here, especially in Jesus's ministry, and then in Jesus himself. And God loves them, no matter who they are. God loves them. And so he doesn't go and say, here's a bunch of rules that you have to follow, do's and don'ts. He has one big rule. Live in God's love. Live in God's love. And that is enough for a lifetime of work in our lives. Letting ourselves be loved and loving others, starting with God and our neighbors. That's it. That's Jesus' big rule. And then, of course, there's lots of ways that that works out, but that's the main thing. Live in God's love. So he goes to the people, he tells them of God's presence and power and love, and then he demonstrates that power and that love and that presence of God in healing. In healing. And so he heals people of diseases and sicknesses, and we understand that. He heals their bodies. But what we maybe don't think about enough is that Jesus heals their afflictions. Those are the inner things, like fear. Anybody struggle with fear? Hopelessness, depression, trauma, anxiety. A lot of these sorts of things can take more of a toll on us even than the physical ailments. A lot of these things can cause the physical ailments. So Jesus is about healing the whole person by transforming us in God's life and God's power, God's presence, God's love, into new people, new creations. So that's what we see in Jesus. And Matthew summarizes this going and telling and healing with a verse that is near and dear to my heart. Zodine, it is my sort of calling verse when I was discerning God's call in my life. Was he really calling me to full-time pastoral ministry or what? This is a verse that jumped out when I was searching the scriptures one day and has stuck with me ever since and continues to minister to me. And it's this. It's this description. It's gonna, again, kind of a summary of what we've just seen Jesus doing. Jesus saw the people and he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So hear what's happening here. Jesus saw the people and he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. When I was a boy, elementary school through junior high, I worked with sheep a lot. One of my best friends had, his dad was the county extension agent in Hall County, Texas, and they had a bunch of sheep. And so I would go with him every day and work with the sheep and come home smelling like sheep, much to my mother's chagrin. And I bought some sheep and raised the sheep and showed them and sold them and everything at the livestock auctions and that sort of thing. And so one thing I know about sheep is sheep are skittish. They get scared easily, and when they get scared, they scatter. I also grew up around a lot of cattle, and cattle aren't like that. You can make all kinds of noise or whatever, and cows will just kind of look at you and then go back to their business. Sheep, you can just wave your arms. We have these kind of rubber pieces of hose that we kind of use to swat them on, but you didn't even need to do that. Just wave and they'll just go off in all kinds of directions. So this image of scattered sheep, I think is appropriate. In fact, I think it is one of the most appropriate images to our culture today. Scared, skittish, scattering sheep. Aimless. And interestingly, with this culture, of course, God's people were called as in their as nomadic people who had cattle and sheep and traveled from place to place. So the image of sheep is very much a present image in the culture of the Bible. And so we see it throughout the Bible, the image of God's people as scattered sheep, as lost sheep, as sheep going astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. As, of course, the sheep of sacrifice, and God as the good shepherd. God is the shepherd who carries the sheep close to his heart. Jesus as the good shepherd. And so it's an appropriate image, I think, this image of harassed and helpless sheep. But Jesus has compassion on the people. Jesus sees the people and he has compassion. And so that is a summary verse for us, I think, in Jesus' call to us to be useful. If you want to be useful, look to Jesus. He sees the people with compassion. You want to be useful? See people with compassion. First, see people. You can't love someone if you don't see them. But see them with compassion. Now, some of us are more bleeding heart on our sleeve type people, and others of us are more reserved. Or it doesn't mean everybody reacts the same way, or that this manifests itself in everyone the same way. But all of us are called to follow Jesus in seeing people with compassion. And then living that out, acting on that in the way that is appropriate for us. But here's the other thing. Jesus' healing ministry, Jesus' power to heal, doesn't just come from being the Son of God, from having the life of God in him. Now that is his power over the body, his power to heal diseases and sicknesses, his power to reach in with compassion and touch those inner afflictions. But here's where Jesus' power of healing ultimately lies. Now hear me on this. The word compassion, some of you know, means literally to suffer with. To suffer with. The word passion, in its origin, is describing the suffering of Jesus. And so compassion is to suffer with someone. And Jesus is the ultimate embodiment of compassion, the ultimate embodiment of suffering with. Because, and here's the key to Jesus' healing power. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is also a harassed and helpless sheep. Jesus is the Lamb of God slain for us, for all people, for all creation to be redeemed. And that's where the power lies. It lies in Jesus' compassion, his suffering with the people. One thing about working with sheep. If you can get one going in the right direction, others will go in the right direction. So Jesus is the lead sheep. And here's how he leads. Don't miss this. Jesus leads by being rejected. You ever feel rejected? Jesus leads by being traumatized, by being brutalized. Jesus leads by allowing himself to be assaulted, giving his body over to others, and allowing them to do with his body, with his life, what they will. torturing him, nailing him to a cross, executing him. That's Jesus, the lead sheep. But here's the key. Jesus brings his suffering. Jesus brings the pain and the suffering and the sin of the world into the healing embrace of the Father. He entrusts his suffering. It doesn't mean it wasn't horrible. It doesn't mean it wasn't evil. But it does mean that God can work good, healing, salvation out of the pain and the suffering of his people, just as he did out of the pain and suffering of his Son. And so if we will follow, if we, the church, will be those sheep who will follow Jesus into the pain, yes, suffering alongside others, yes, but also on into the embrace of the Father, we will find healing for our pain. We will find salvation for our suffering. So now about that harvest field. Jesus speaks. This other stuff was Matthew's description of Jesus' ministry. Jesus speaks and says, look out at the world and see the harvest is ready. It's plentiful. The field is full and ready for the harvest, but there aren't enough harvesters. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers out into the field. But what is this harvest? We tend to think of a harvest in terms of riches, in terms of income. But one who is driven by compassion, one who sees people with compassion, sees a harvest of harassed and helpless sheep. So Jesus, who goes and tells and heals, Jesus, who sees people with compassion, when he starts talking about the field is ready for the harvest, what he is saying is there are sheep all over your city. There are sheep all in your neighborhood. There are people in your neighborhoods who need this good news, who need your compassion, who need you to come along and suffer with them and to lead them with me home into the Father's embrace. Not just when you die, but now in our company, here at Western Hills, where everyone can belong and everyone can believe and everyone can be useful. That's how we be useful. By following Jesus. Now understand, God isn't the Lord of the harvest by sitting up at the ranch house and barking orders down to the harvesters. Get out there in the field. No, Jesus is a working man. And so Jesus calls his followers from the field to come out and join him. The Lord of the harvest is Lord of the harvest because he is the chief harvester out there working among the harassed and helpless sheep. The neighborhood's full of people wandering aimlessly, going after power, riches, pleasure, meaning, but blinded by the fear and the hopelessness of our age, crippled by the anxiety of materialism. You cannot have materialism without anxiety, because as soon as you find your meaning in the material, You're going to enter into hopelessness and desperation and anxiety over losing the material and thus losing your life. And so the way, if you want to be useful, the way to be useful is by joining Jesus in the field. What is your field? It's the people that you are around every day. That's your field. See people who are on the margins. Listen to people who are lonely. Believe people who are assaulted and traumatized. Love people who need to be loved. That's what the field is. The field is ready. The field is full, Jesus says, of people needing to be loved. And hear me. The field is full, says Jesus. Your neighborhoods are full of people needing for us to be useful. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to watch you. To watch you, how you go to people, how you tell people of God's love, and how you show that love in healing them. Help us to join you in seeing people with compassion, starting with the people around us, Lord, our own family, friends, social circles, coworkers, schoolmates, whoever they may be, neighbors. Help us to listen. Help us to see. Help us to believe. Help us to love. And help us, harassed and helpless sheep just like anybody else, help us to follow you into the arms of healing. And may others find that healing with us. In your name, amen.